Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
If you remember Aaron Hernandez, he was tight end for the New England Patriots. By the way, Sherry Borg, she actually had a Patriots hat on today. She's under church discipline today. But Aaron Hernandez, unfortunately, you know, his tragic story, and he was found guilty of murder and then commenced to commit suicide while he was incarcerated. And then we just found out that he wrote on marker on his forehead, John 3:16. Kind of weird and kind of creepy. Aren't you glad you came here this morning? But something, let's get back to happy thoughts. Tim Tebow. We all know Tim Tebow, right? And if you remember before, when he was playing for the Florida Gators, before the national championship game, he wore John 3:16 underneath his eyes. And then fast forward several years later, he was drafted in the first round to the Denver Broncos. And he was playing in an epic playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he threw a touchdown, I want to say it was in overtime, to win the game for the Denver Broncos. But if that wasn't enough, the publicist for the team, the Denver Broncos, approached Tim Tebow after the game, and he's like, "You're not going to believe this." And Tim's like, "What? We won the game. I know. It's amazing." He goes, "No." He goes, "I want you to listen to the stat line for the game." He says this. The publicist let him know, "Tim, you threw for 316 yards. He says, your yards per completion were 31.6. Your rush yards were 3.16. He says your passer rating was 31.6. The time of possession, 31 minutes and 6 seconds. And the number one thing Googled during that game was, what does John 3:16 mean? All right? And so I want to read for you this morning, John 3:16. If you can turn with me or your Bible or look up on the screens. John 3:16 reads like this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so I want us to just kind of dial down a little bit. That notice it didn't say that God loved the world. It said God so loved the world. That there was this capacity and this depth of love that's really quite profound. And then even just the word love, I think you'd agree with me in our language is unbelievably tired. Like, it's a tired word. In the Greek, which your New Testament is written in, do you know for the word love, there's 4 to 5 different words for the, and I didn't study this extensively, but there's several words that kind of highlight the nuances of love. There's phileo, which is like a friendship love. There's agape, which is, it's the God kind of love. There's eros, which is the intimate kind of love. And so we see all the nuances that are just key to us. Hebrew has the same thing. Raya, ahava, dod, all these different words to just highlight different things and emphasis in love, but not us. We just love everything. And so if love means everything, guess what? It means nothing. And we've kind of sucked the life out of that word. And even if I was paying attention to my own vocabulary, like I'm like, oh, I love Bentley, my golden retriever. I love you, boy. I love pizza. I love the Jets. And oh, yes, sweetheart, I love you too, right? And so, like, surely all those things, I'm not meaning the same thing, or at least I hope not. And so you see that love is really, really a tired word. And so we can lose some of the meaning. Even this, like our culture, I believe, has an unbelievably perverted and a fragile idea of love. Because if you've been out in the world at all today, you know, today, when they say, like, for me, in order for me to love somebody, I have to fully affirm every one of their beliefs. And can we agree that's unbelievably fragile? And I don't know who does that. I disagree with my daughters often. In fact, my youngest daughter is driving up from North Carolina with her 5 dogs to go with my 3 dogs. Can you see, like, there's going to be some disagreement over the holidays. Merry Christmas. My wife and I, but we've been married for 30 years. And guess what? We've disagreed a time or two over those 30 years. And yet, I don't think anyone would question our love for each other. How do you even be married if you have to fully affirm everything someone believes? So we can see it's insane, it's unrealistic, and it's unbelievably fragile. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now it gives us a different perspective on love. And in chapter 13, the author, Paul, goes into a biblical God kind of love. And do you know how it starts? It starts like this: love suffers long. See how different that is? Like, that's unbelievably robust. That lets us know, guess what? You're going to disagree. There's going to be tension. But love conquers all of that and pushes through all of that stuff. And so that is the God kind of love. I'm so glad, because God disagrees with me a lot. Okay, but I'm glad that his love, he never released it on me, but it's robust. And how about this? I've learned a thing. So I'm 50 years old. I know, again, you guys can't believe I look so young. But I'm 50, and I learned a lot about love over my 50 years, especially as a parent. Parents, you'll amen me on this. Is that, I learned that love says no a lot. I've learned that love spanks. And so if you disagree with me, I still love you, because I can disagree. And I would just point to your kids versus my kids. It's why my kids are better than yours. All right. And then if you're upset, I have a Bible verse for you. Proverbs 13:24 says this: he that spares the rod hates his kid. And so I love my babies, so I spank them. All right? They're not babies anymore. I've taught often about the difficult aspects of love, because I feel like we need to. It's going to build. It's going to help us for real life. But if it's okay, there is another nuance that I think I've under-preached here from the pulpit. And I want to talk to you about the fun kind of love. I want to talk to you about the aspect of God's love that blesses his people. He is the God who blesses. And so, we're going to do a little Hebrew today, all right? You're going to learn a new Hebrew word, because the Hebrew word for blessing is the word barak, all right? So think Barack Obama, and you can spell it B-A-R-A-K, and it has two meanings. It means to kneel, and it means to bless. And so it might seem odd. How could it mean those two different things? But here's what I would submit to you. So how many of us have been to New York City? All right, great. How many have ridden the subway system? Right. So you get this. It's a blast, right? Like it's an unbelievable thing where it's both scary, yet a little bit exciting. It stinks, but it's a little bit amazing. Like, you might meet a movie star, or you might meet a murderer, right? You just don't know what you're going to be. And so there's all this anticipation. And I know just recently they had Jimmy Fallon was down there with Alanis Morissette. See, I just read my Bible. Don't listen to that pagan stuff. But anyways, but he was down there. And I know I always tell the story of one time I'm walking down in Times Square in the subway system. And there's a guy, he was walking a dog with a cat on the dog's back and a mouse on the cat's back. I'm like, that is crazy, insane, and cool. And so lots of stuff can happen. But one time I remember I'm waiting at the one train, and I'm just kind of looking around, trying to kill time, waiting for the train to come in. And I look down in the track, and there's a $1 bill on the track. And just for a split second, I'm like, I should just pop down there, man, and go grab that thing. I'm like, it's a single, and I ain't doing that. But then I started thinking, man, if it was a 20, I would consider it, all right? But I don't know if you've ever considered this. How much value are you to God that God would jump down from heaven, not risk his life, but give it on your behalf? And so God performed the ultimate act of humility, or kneeling, and we're celebrating it now at Christmas. The incarnation, where God humbled himself, kneeled, and became a man on our behalf. But he also blesses. Jesus blessed us with his life, his death, in his resurrection. I got to show you a cool verse. Do you know, so prolific was Jesus is just blessing the blind, the sick, the sinner, all these different things. And then even before he left, Jesus had to bless us. Luke 24, I'll read it for you. Luke 24, if I can find it in my own notes, verse 50. Is it on the screen here? Because I cannot find it in my notes. Oh, here it is. It says, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. The last thing Jesus did as he ascended up in the heavens, just kind of an interesting thing. I know Star Wars is out right now, but any Star Trekkies out there? If you guys remember, Kevin's like, oh no, that's for nerds, that's old school. But we all know Mr. Spock, right? Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy. I don't know if you know this, but he's a Jewish man. And do you remember this sign, live long and prosper? I don't know if you know this, but he actually took it from the blessing of Aaron. That what rabbis would do is they'll make this sign. This is the sign of, it's the letter Shin, and it stands for Shabbat, Shalom, which means peace, and it also stands for Shaddai, the Almighty. And so they would say this, and they would say the prayer of Aaron, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And he just shortened it to live long and prosper. And so that's the last thing that the Lord Jesus did for us, that he's the God who blesses. I want to show you this, that God, do you know that he's a blessing God and he's blessed from the very beginning? Like, I'll take you to the book of Genesis. The word Genesis, it means beginnings. And so let me just show you how prolific God is in blessing. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and maybe before we read it, maybe you could do this with me. I want you to remember the first memory you ever have. Like, the first memory you ever had. Can you go start going back there? Like, it can be weird. It can be kind of crazy trying to, what was the first thing I remembered? Adam and Eve, the first thing they remembered was Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over everything that moves on the earth. See, God, the first thing that God wanted to do when he created humanity, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Genesis 3 happens. We sin, fall away. Man begins to spiral downward. God's going to bring the flood, but he's going to separate a family, Noah's family. He's going to give them grace. And as he saves them through the flood, as the waters recede and he steps onto dry ground, I want to read Genesis 9:1. It says this, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so I want you to see it. Like, I'm like, God, you already blessed him. You saved his life from the flood. But he still wasn't finished. He's like, I'm going to bless you even more. Genesis 12, 1-3, this is the Abrahamic covenant. I want to read this to you because four times in three verses, God is just going to extend blessing, blessing, blessing. It says this in verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The heart of God is to bless his people. So that's the beginnings. Maybe God just gets grumpy and maybe he doesn't do that. Let me take you to the end of our Bible, the end of that book. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. It says this, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Listen, remember, like, whenever you look at your Christmas tree, if you do that, you need to be reminded of the fact that our life is playing out between the trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the cross, and then Revelation 22, the final blessing of God, where we eat from the tree of life and we live eternally with him. All right? And so God is a God who blesses. Now, listen, some of you might be like, yeah, I know God blesses, but will he bless me? Come on, have you ever thought that? You know, like, I know he can, I'm just not sure he will or he wants to. Well, I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Sorry if we're reading so much scripture, but you're in church, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, God says this, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I, meaning God, have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Like, don't you love that? Like, God's given us a quiz. Hey, here's the blessings for obedience, or like, if you disobey, you're going to be cursed, and God has to help us out. My heart for you, I want to bless you, so please obey, all right? And so that's the heart of your Heavenly Father. Here's another one. This is number four, if you're keeping notes or for our PowerPoint. It's, but listen, God blesses. He has a heart to bless, but now it's incumbent on you and on me that we align our lives with the blessing of God. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that to you. Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so do you see that? It's like, if you want to be blessed, there's going to be two different, there's going to be a counterfeit idea of where life is predominant in the world. And you need to choose, is it God's way or is it the way of the world? So I'll illustrate it this way. And once again, please forgive me. I'm going to be honest with you on something. So this past week, I went to the grocery store to just pick up a few things. And I didn't have any like small bills on me. So I had a big bill. So I give it to the guy. And the guy, can I just say the guy behind the counter was, he was just buttoned up. You know what I'm saying? Is that okay? Like he was just really like buttoned up and a little bit snooty. And so I just came from the gym. I'm in my gym equipment. And I give the guy the big bill. He kind of looks at me, snaps it a little bit. Then he puts it down and he gets that marker thing. You know what I'm talking about? So he just takes that marker thing and he starts rubbing on it. Looks up at me, back down at it, rubs it again, like that. Then he takes it up into the light, looks at it, like that, and then puts it in the register and starts to get me my change. Now, if I can just be straight with you, I'm getting extremely offended, like, the whole time. And so he starts giving me my change like this, and as he does, I'm like, hey, man, could I see that marker? Like that. Listen, I didn't do it, but I wanted to, all right? I totally wanted to. And so the reality is, though, is that there is a counterfeit joy. There's a counterfeit blessing out in there in the world, and it's incumbent on you and I, not that we study the counterfeit or the fake, is we become experts in the authentic. And that's why we meditate upon the Word of God, that we can spot blessing and we can spot a fake in a moment's time. And so that's why we meditate on the Word day and night. I'm going to ask this. This is unbelievably important. Here's my next point is this. We have to pursue the blesser and not the blessing. If there's been any obstacle that I've struggled in my life with, is I'll chase the blessing rather than the blesser. I'm going to ask a question, and I think if I was to ask for a show of hands, it would be unanimous. Have you ever been used? Like, have you ever had someone use you, and like you felt someone was really into you, and then suddenly you find out they didn't want you, they just wanted what you could do for them or what you could get them. And do you remember what that's like when you found that out? Didn't you feel like a fool? Like all the good that they had done in your life, it just crumbles in that moment, and you feel cheap. And can I tell you what? I've done that to God a lot. When I was immature in my faith, I just wanted him to bless me. So I'm going to be good. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. But not because I love Jesus, but because I wanted him to help me play good on the ice. I wanted him to get me drafted in the National Hockey League. But I'll say this, is my love has matured. And then as love matures, suddenly I realized I love the blesser way more than any blessing I could get. And so that's a mature love. And funny, I can remember my family and I, we went to a Christmas play in Manhattan. It was called A Christmas Story. It was a play on, you know that movie with Ralphie and the Red Ryder BB gun? If you've not seen that, you're about to see it 50,000 times over the holiday. And so we saw the play. It was actually the musical score was done by a young man by the name of Justin Paul. I married he and his wife, Asher, and he wrote the musical score for The Greatest Showman. And what's the name of the Broadway play? Evan Hansen? Dear Evan Hansen. He did all that. And by the way, if you think I'm bragging right now, I'm not. I'm name dropping, okay? And it's a little bit different. And so I asked Justin, I was like, bro, can we get tickets to that Christmas Story in there? He hooked us up with some tickets, and we took ourselves and my wife and I, and we took some friends, and then we drove into Manhattan. Traffic was insane. And then finally, we're going to be late for the parade. So I drop off, being the gentleman I am, I dropped off my crew at the door, and I went looking for parking, asking God, please, God, let me find parking. So I finally get there. I'm running late. And you know how you got to dress in layers? And so I got my jacket, and I get into the theater. I'm just sweating, so I got my jacket off. And I'm trying to get to my seat. I'm like, excuse me, pardon me. And then my jacket got caught on the arm of the chair. And so I'm like pulling it. I'm like, ah, ah. And then finally, I turn around, and I realize it wasn't caught on a chair. It was caught on a little girl's pigtail. And so I looked, and the girl's eyes are about tearing up, and the dad wanted to fight me, which I wanted to fight me in that moment, just to shoot you straight. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But we sit there, and then the show is magnificent. The music was amazing. But there was a twist at the end of the story when little Ralphie, it shows Ralphie grown up, and he says, I still remember the greatest Christmas gift I ever received. He says, and it wasn't because I got the gun that I wanted. He says, it was because it was from my dad. And it was like, you could feel just something filled the auditorium at that point. And that's what we're talking about. Man, we love the blesser, and we chase after him and not the blessing. And the reality is this, is that blessing is a byproduct of pursuing the blesser. It just is. As you chase him, you're going to get blessing. If you don't believe me, I'll turn you to Psalm 23. You guys, we know Psalm 23. It is the probably the most famous psalm that we have. The Lord is my shepherd. Even in the book of John, that Jesus, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. And you know, it's kind of cool, that word good in the Greek, there's multiple words for it. And there's the word agathos, and that just means good. It's just a good thing. And then there's the word kalos, and that means it's good, but it's beautiful. And Jesus says, me, I'm the kalos shepherd. I'm the beautiful, wonderful, good shepherd. And in Psalm 23, the last verse in Psalm 23, verse 6, it says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So get this, as you follow the shepherd, you're pursuing the shepherd, it says this, goodness and mercy will follow you. So that word follow in the Hebrew is this, it's a hunting word. It means I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to pursue you. And so Paul Boisvert in the back, the hunter, you should shout out and say amen, because he's a hunter and he's crazy. And I was trying to ask him, man, what do hunters do? Man, they stalk, right? They're following your tendencies and knowing what you're going to want to do. And then, boom, suddenly, they pounce on you. And that's God wants to do that to you. He's going to pursue you. You don't know he's chasing you. You don't know he's around there. And then suddenly, boom, blessing. And God wants to bless us that way. Goodness and mercy to overtake us. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, if you aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you'll get neither. And so the Matthew, the gospel writer, he'll say it different. He'll say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. Point number six. We have 6 points to let this. So listen, I'm letting you have it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says this, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. See, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so Sean Hopkins and Sean and Tamara are elders. Just so glad to have them walking with us. And I asked them actually for a picture because we went to Israel together a number of years ago. And Sean, being the adventuresome, crazy guy, we went to the Dead Sea. And so you got to go. We're going to actually go as a church. It's going to be available in 2021. And so we went to the Dead Sea, and I don't know if you've been there, but they say if you put the mud from the Dead Sea on you, it's like medicinal, therapeutic. I just thought it was gross. And so a bunch of them, they're like putting all this mud all over themselves. They're like, PA, come on in. I'm good. I'll just take the picture. And so we did all that stuff. But I don't know if you know this. The reason why they call it the Dead Sea is, guess what? There's nothing alive in it. Nothing can live. Here's the reason why, is because everything flows into it. The water flows in, and nothing flows out. And the salt content is so strong that nothing can survive in it. And you and I are wired the same way by Almighty God. We just read it in Proverbs, that if stuff just comes in and it stops with you, your soul will shrivel up and you'll die. And listen, if you don't believe me, hey, that's cute in the Bible, Pastor. Science has now lined up with the Word of God. They did the University of Notre Dame. They did an extensive research study. And here's what the research, the data they found out. And I thought the number was so funny. They said, if you will give, get this number, 10% of your money, of your income that comes in, and you'll be generous with it and give it away, all the measurables shoot through the roof. You'll be healthier. You'll be happier. You'll have more friendships. You'll live longer. On and on it goes. And so they actually called it the paradox of generosity, because it feels like it shouldn't work that way, but it does. There was I was watching the Today Show a number of years ago. This was Matt Lauer was still on TV at that time. He's interviewing a New York Times bestseller, and this was right after the housing market crashed, and so everyone's struggling with debt and all that. And so this best-selling author wrote a book, Five Ways to Get Out of Debt, and he numbers off all the five ways, and he gets to the fifth one, and he says this. He says, you need to give money away. And Matt Lauer is perplexed. He's like, what? That doesn't make sense. Why would giving money away help you get out of debt? And here's the author's response. I don't know. It just works, right? And so here we see he's bumping in to the Word of God. And now I'm going to call Kim to come up, and the team is, we're going to celebrate the greatest blessing of all is the Lord's table. That God, the greatest gift that we get from Him is the gift of Himself, His Son Jesus. And we have this reminder for us of this as we partake of communion. We're reminded that God gave Himself to us. And so the ushers, they can begin to pass out the elements. But as they do, would you do this for me? Would you hang on to it so we can take it together? And here's what I want to say is this. So the holidays, for a lot of us, it means a lot. It has special meaning, right? So for my wife Susan and I, it was December 1988 when I was going to propose to Susan. I was 19, she was 20, and then I can remember kind of this time, and I've done this. I'm not sure how many of you have done this. I need to commit to prayer to see if Susan is God's one for me. And so I still remember taking to my knees, God, is she the one? Thank you. Yeah, and that was kind of the extent of my prayer, right? And so if we could do that. And so I can remember, proposing to her during Christmas Eve. And hey, spoiler alert, she said yes. But here's what took place that night. Is her and I, that we agreed to bind our life to one another. And that's what a covenant is. And Almighty God, when He gave His Son Jesus, He said He was cutting a new covenant. That God says this, listen, I know you got issues. As Kim said, I know you got problems, but I'm still choosing to bind my life to you. And if you will receive Him, that God, He will attach His life to yours. And here's what we get. His righteousness, it becomes our righteousness. That He begins, as we're bound to Him, He gets to change us from the inside out. And so all those problem areas in our life that He begins to fix and mold and shape until when He's done with us.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.